This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We've got our buddy James Duffy a little bit later in the hour. Role play level of concern that we will get to. We might roll over some MVP pick'em as well. That was a huge hit yesterday. Still receiving feedback on that.
It went well. And
yeah,
actually,
very well.
It's difficult because you can't do it. Yeah, that's a once a year deal, right? You can't keep going.
Yesterday and today.
we'll roll it over. Yeah,
that's
once a 1.5 days a year. Exactly. That's
right.
We never got into the. I watched the soundbite several times today of what happened a year ago.
A year ago today, we were live on the air and we were going off. Noodles, you were on a rant about Freddie Anderson.
I was on some rant, or like a rant about the team, because obviously the team was struggling. I forget what game was it. Was it Pittsburgh? They came out of the Pittsburgh game? Is that what?
It was after the Vegas game, though. They got blown up in Pittsburgh, remember? Then they went to Vegas and they lost 3-2 or something like that. But they played better. Remember moral victories? They were in moral victory mode at that point.
Wow.
And at that time, they were on the road for a while. They were in Arizona, Colorado, going through Detroit.
Yeah.
And I guess we have this clip. I don't know how long it is, but do you guys want to refresh your memory?
Oh, yeah. Fire it up.
And listen for a couple of things, okay? Listen to the shock from Noodles when I say, hold up. And listen to the in-depth analysis from the O-Dog. I couldn't get him to shut up. It was incredible a year ago today.
Tyson Berry, we talked about. You know, you need an extra save from Freddie, regardless whether
Hold on.
What?
Breaking news. Babcock fired.
What?
The Leafs just sent the email out. Sheldon Keefe named the 31st head coach in franchise history.
Wow.
Thanks, Noodles. Wow.
Dude, no, it goes on longer. I watched a clip of it today, and it went on for 5 minutes. I'm like, I'm looking at myself. I'm like, you're not going to weigh in on that particular subject right now? I don't think I said a word for 5 minutes.
You know what? There was also, and I thought I said, interesting.
Yeah, I think he did drop an interesting.
Like, we're all just reaching for comments. I think we're all in shock. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, I don't know if it was that it just caught us so out of left field, even though we probably should have seen it coming. But
oh yeah, they had lost. They were 9-10-4 or something at that point. They had lost 6 in a row. The vultures were out. I mean, after every day Babcock was being asked about his security and how he felt about the coach, and players were being asked, it was just a matter of time. You knew it was coming, but you don't expect it at that second, right? Like,
right.
We're live on the air. I will say, the mics sound phenomenal. That was in studio. I miss being in studio.
Yeah, that was.
But it's pretty funny because my mind is racing. Like, I have a hamster roll going is just...
First, not wanting to kill the grappler, because when he gets in your ear, you look over and you're like, you better have something concrete and interesting enough for me to interrupt this program right now.
Which, right. To his credit, he did. Mike Babcock
got
fired. And then Noodles is given wows and oohs and ahs and interestings.
Interesting. Yeah.
And there is a baby gorilla in the middle. Who you're just staring at me for like 5 minutes. So it's the funniest clip. You're like,
dude, I saw it myself. I saw it myself. Grappler, if you can inform us, like, how long until Hayes made the announcement until I actually made a comment? I'd like to know, because I was watching it myself and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we need some analytics on that. You were in shock.
It's got to be 10 real seconds, like 10.
I'm not going to try to pump my own tires, but there is an outside chance that I may have known that was coming, and I didn't want to act surprised. So that might have factored. I don't know.
Look at this guy. Okay.
I'm not 100%.
You know what that is? That's inside the NHL circle.
You're in the circle.
You are in the circle of friendship and the circle of knowledge and updates when it came to the security or lack thereof of Mike Babcock. That's fine, you know, and listen, it was quite the day, because we were clearly focused more on Babcock and how bad the team was, but we quickly got into a conversation about Sheldon Keefe. Because he was a rookie head coach, had no NHL experience as a coach, whether it was head coach, associate coach, assistant coach, water boy, it didn't matter. I mean, he had not been in the NHL in any capacity outside of as a player in the early 2000s. And it's been a year. We did say at that point he's got to get this team cooking and get them into the playoffs. Technically, they didn't make it. They would have, I think, if COVID didn't, you know, change the world the way it changed the world. So I think he probably would have gotten in there in a conventional sense. But it's been a year for Sheldon Keefe on the job, and he spoke with Mark Masters earlier, and he said, you know, he has learned over the course of the year to trust himself, trust what he has in terms of beliefs and in terms of how he wants to coach and philosophies, et cetera, which I think is probably the appropriate measure to take. But he also had a couple of other interesting things to say. Like, he keeps hammering home this accountability and professionalism, day one of camp, everyone can give more, including the big boys, the young boys, and I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
You know, it's messaging I totally accept and I totally encourage, but I will believe it when I see it. Why would this be the year where all these guys just buy into a system and defend properly and grind and look like the team that we all believed maybe they could be based on talent and based on paper?
That's the thing. Like, at some point you keep waiting for the light to go on, the switch to go on. Now, the one thing that at least, and you have to give the Leafs credit for, and I'll give Kyle Dubas credit for, is what he's done is he's committed to the core, no problem, which I think we all agree, the core is solid. But he keeps reshaping around the core. And now it's clear what he tried to do this last offseason. You added, obviously, veteran guys, you know, almost to the point where they're either at the end of their career or close to it. But they're all kind of unique personalities. Like, Wayne Simmonds is a strong guy. Like, he's a strong personality, but he's a guy who could still give you a game, and he's irritable to play against. Joe Thornton, we've talked about him. He's got no filter.
Factor into why they believe this will be different is because they're going to get help from a variety of players and experienced players that might realize, okay, this is how we have to do it. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is James Duthie. Do you remember what you were doing a year ago, JD? Were you at the studio, or did you get called in for the Babcock firing? How did you handle that?
Buddy, I have trouble remembering this morning. I don't know. I have no idea. Did we have a game that day? Does Zoe remember?
Yeah, it was against Arizona.
Did we have a game that night?
I don't know if it was TSN or not, but it was they were playing Arizona.
It was an off day, though, I believe, Brian.
They
had an off day. They had a practice with them, and then they played against the Arizona Coyotes, and they won that game because they hadn't had a win in a little bit.
I think I was just home and saw the tweet or whatever it was, whether it was Dregs or Bob or the Leafs announcing it. And, it's been a year. I'm trying to decide if I'm surprised if he's not coaching again yet. I think in the wake of what happened after and what the time was with all, you know, that was a time for all these stories about coaches abusing players, and Babcock sort of semi got caught up in that, not to the extent of Bill Peters or anything, but there was a belief he wouldn't coach for a while, and then a few months go by and his name popped up a couple of times, and you know, in some ways, I thought maybe he would have resurfaced by now. But, of course, these are weird times when we didn't have a complete season. And I still think probably within, if we're having this conversation next year, I bet that Mike Babcock is coaching again in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, I would take that bet as well. I think he's probably not going to show up in an abbreviated year with travel being what it is and COVID still lurking. But by the time things settle next October, next November, and we get back on track with a conventional NHL schedule, I would not be shocked at all. Mm-hmm. And by then he would have picked up about two more years of pay from the Maple Leafs, and he'd probably be willing to give up a little bit to get behind the bench, because if you stay out too long, you will be forgotten.
Right.
And on at some point, you got to get back in.
I just heard the last 90 seconds of you guys before my dogs were barking and fighting furiously in the background, but it's such an incomplete grade, right? You remember those incomplete grades in school, and I think that's all you can give them. Maybe a C for the first year. They certainly had a great start, but in the end, it was kind of the same outcome, if not more frustrating, the way it ended against Columbus. And so I just think an incomplete report card.
With James Duthie. So Sheldon Keefe, when he was speaking with Masters, Mark brought up the fact that Joe Thornton is signed and the fact that Thornton will be available to him behind a bench, and kind of asked him, how do you see him being utilized? Is he going to be a third-line center? And Keith said, you're going to have to stay tuned on that. But he went on to say that Thornton is a very versatile guy that we think can play anywhere in our lineup depending on what we need or what's happening. That's got to be selective. I mean, I cannot see him playing top 6 minutes night in, night out. Like something
no
went
chance.
Wrong if that's the case.
I think that's just a coach, you know, saying nice things about a player that's coming in, don't you think? That's not, I mean, I guess he could take some shifts on the top line and certainly, you know, power play minutes and things like that. And sure, give him a couple, you know, give him some time with, give him a couple of shifts with Nylander, Marner, whatever that may be. But there's no chance he's playing regular top 6 minutes on the Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't think. He hasn't been on the San Jose Sharks, I don't think, last year.
No, he hasn't been, no.
No. So I mean, that's, to me, that's just probably a coach saying nice things about a player who's, I believe, 1 year older than the coach.
We were talking earlier, James, and Brian brought up the point with the Raptors going down to Tampa. With the NHL, if they form the Canadian division, and what did you say, Brian, after the second round of the playoffs, someone's going to have to go across the border or figure this out somehow. We're wondering what was your scenario, Brian?
Well, if it ends up being exclusively an all-Canadian division and an all-Canadian schedule, and then four of the seven teams make it, one plays four, two plays three, someone's going to the conference final, and they're playing an American team. So there has to be crossover at some point, whether that's late May, early June. It's going to happen because someone is quite literally going to be there if that's the scenario. Yeah. A Canadian team will be in the conference final.
I think that, look, again, this is the NHL, though they have to plan, are in the same position as the rest of us where they really have no idea where we're going to be in April, May, or whatever that may be. So my guess would be that, you know, under their prognostication is that if the playoffs are to start, let's say, if July 15th is the end of the Stanley Cup final, backtrack that 2 months, and maybe the playoffs are shorter, who knows. So let's say it's May 15th or 20th that the playoffs start, that their best hope at this point is if those divisions stay intact the entire year and it's a Canadian division for the entire season, which I'm not sure is a guarantee either, but if that's the way it is, that their hope is that by that point we are far enough along as far as vaccines getting out to the population that people can cross the border, that borders are open by then, at least in some limited form, and that teams can travel. That would be my only, because there is no other solution for that. So that would be their hope, is that here we are now, this is going to be awful for a few months, but by the time we get to the end of this season, if everything goes well, that can happen and teams can travel and have playoffs. So, I mean, I don't know what their plan B would be, frankly. And that's, I think, probably terrifies them as much as it leaves us in the dark.
With James Duthie. So you are back safe and sound from Augusta National. You were down there last week.
Creeping
you've been
around.
Going down there for years. Yeah, how would you compare the 2020 Masters to every other one you've been to?
Well, okay, I'll give you two answers. I like everybody else. It just, you know, it was missing something because of the crowds and no roars and all of that. And I think part of it was DJ, too. I really would have liked to see, if we could have taken, let's say, the 2019 Masters with Tiger and put it into 2020, you know, how much less would it still be as impactful? Or, you know, how much of it was DJ completely destroying the field on Sunday that took away from it, and how much of it was the no patrons? I don't think we'll ever have the answer to that. Selfishly, the single greatest golf tournament I will ever attend, ever, because the access was just unbelievable. I said to Thursday, Puffy and I followed Tiger for 9 holes. The gallery was Tiger's girlfriend, Peyton Manning, and Puffy and I. That was the gallery at the Masters for Tiger.
Okay, I got to ask you, your knowledge of television, some of the picks that were taken, and you and Puffy on the shot, you say to Puffy, if we stand right here...
No,
I know you know the angles.
Knowledge of television. The shot that the Mahler, as I like to call him, took off his screen. The grappler took was
the Mahler.
He's forever the Mahler to me. That was, we were walking up that side, and I think Puffy said to me, "Stop right here. This is directly on line with DJ's pot, and there is a camera right behind." And I said, "You're darn right, Puffy. Let's flex." And that was funny because there was nobody else there. But we didn't really try that hard. It would be really embarrassing, and it was at a point. I said, "Puffy, we work in television. We can't be trying to get on TV." Although I was trying to get Puffy to do stupid things.
I was going to say, it would have been awful if you tried to trip him and then he tripped you and you had a whole Dumb and Dumber routine.
I know, we could have done something that probably would have gone viral, but it probably would have gotten me fired. But no word of a lie, like it was quite surreal. On when DJ teed off on 17 on Sunday, about to win the Masters, Puffy and I had to step back because our shadows were over his ball. Now, he didn't have to ask. It wasn't something that happened on television. We saw right away, and we have enough etiquette to realize. But that's how crazy close you could get the entire time. And it was just, you know, that's an experience I'll never have before. Because I think I've told you guys before, the Masters is really hard to cover on the golf course. And most of the time I come home and people say, "Hey, where were you when, you know, all those guys dunked it on 12? And I was watching on TV like you, because that's the only way I can cover the tournament and do an hour post-game show afterwards. But in this case, this was the first time I walked the back nine with the leader on Sunday right up to 18 and saw a lot of really cool things. I spent some time, the best place, you know, 15 and 16 is where people will go and try and get in the bleachers there. But one of the coolest places is you can stand in one spot and see two green, turn left, see seven green, have three tee right in front of you, and if you turn around, see eight tee. So that's probably one of the greatest spots on the golf course. And so I stood for about an hour at three tee and happened to be there when Bryson had his complete meltdown. And that was something to behold. First of all, to watch him hit and to watch the other guys react. Patrick Reed, Tony Finau and Paul Casey were the next group, and they were talking about Bryson the entire time, and then Bryson comes whipping back on the golf cart, not finding his ball, and it just the exchange. Bryson goes, "Sorry, guys," and Reed's like, "No, you're okay," and Bryson's like, "It was a good shot, still lost the ball." He's so mad, but I've said this to a few people. The thing that really struck me was, I think they all appreciate, and Dillette said this, they really appreciate, you know, what he does, even though there's, you know, he's not the most popular guy on tour. But I think there is some eye rolling at the production of his tee shots.
Oh, yeah.
He breathes so loud. You can't pick this up on TV. You pick up his movement. But he is, I'll try to do my best imitation. I compare it to a power lifter at the Olympics. That's what he's doing. And you can sort of, you know, I watched, you know, Reed and these guys. Reed is not exactly Mr. Popular himself, as you guys know. But, you know, between them and the caddies, when he took back off, you can just tell it's like this guy puts on a little too much of a show.
Well, what was the chatter like in terms of the expectation for April? Do they think fans will be there again and back to normal?
I mean, I think they're hopeful, but it's like, you know, every conversation we have is the same thing. Nobody knows.
Right.
I think they're all hoping that this is the only one like that. That it was, like I said, personally, it was really neat. And I thought the golf course, I know it didn't look, people were saying on TV, quite as nice. It was a little shaggier on some of the slopes and such. But to have no grandstands there, to me, I love Augusta National. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in the world. But when there's no people there, it's even more beautiful, right? It's nothing but green grass everywhere. And so it's a really cool experience. I'd be fine if there were no fans again in April, but that's completely me being selfish. I think it would be better for the game if they were back in some capacity.
Yep, let's hope that happens. I'd be surprised if it didn't. I mean, they can basically make their call. As long as the state is cool with it, it's all up to Augusta. I mean, they make up their own rules. They can do whatever they want.
I cannot tell you how exclusive it was, though. I didn't know that Peyton Manning was a member. That's why he was there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Peyton's a member, and because Paulina was there the entire time. By the way, I had just the most embarrassing conversation with Paulina. I just happened to walk right by her, and so I had to I say, "Hey, Paulina." She goes, "Hi." And I'm like, "Oh, it's James from TSN.
Ah! Do you know where the gym
and,
is?
And she goes, like... "No." She goes, "Oh, hi." And I go, "Okay." And I just kept going. I had
big
nothing
gulps.
Else to say.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in grade 7 again, and it just got like rejected at the dance. And it wasn't. She was completely polite and nice to me.
I know, but
it's
Jimmy, even if you said, "Like, I know your dad," she
well,
would have been like, "Great."
Said,
so I don't care.
So lame. Yeah. If I say that, "Hey, I'm on TSN. I've interviewed your father sometimes." What's she going to say?
She's nothing. She'd be like, "Yeah, good for you.
Good. Have a nice day." Anyway, the point I was trying to make was, Wayne couldn't even come on the golf course, which is amazing to me. Basically, I think everybody was allowed just their spouse and their coach, and that was it. And so it was probably one of the most exclusive tickets in the history of sport. There were a few extra people there, particularly on Sunday, they were either members or they were just filthy, like they just had the look of the filthy rich, right?
Oh.
You had to be a CEO of somebody who knew, one of the guys in the green jackets, one of the members, because there weren't many, but there were a few there, and so it was neat. But I hope the patrons come back.
All right, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Take it easy.
There he is, James Duthie from TSN, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Experience the low-maintenance cost of driving a self-charging hybrid electric from Maple Toyota. Purchase in-person or online at mapletoyota.com. Make the switch. Drive a hybrid. I didn't know Peyton was a member there. I thought I read that Roger Goodell was sniffing around down there. I think Goodell's got an invite. Rob Manfred, maybe. The commissioners, basically. If you're a commissioner, you're at that level, you get the invite. But I think the way it works at Augusta is you can't, like, call up and say, "I want to join." They basically send you an invitation out of the blue. You don't know it's coming. And it's like a one-time option. You either accept.
There's connections involved. Like, there's got to be – it's not just, like, somebody – is really connected with Peyton Manning, and they said, "We really think that this guy would be a great member." Like, it's not like, how come Joe Blow, who owns a tire company in Tennessee, isn't a member? Because he's not Peyton Manning.
No, exactly. It's a very limited few. And again, the way I read it, and I don't even know if it's true because it's like a secret society, is you get the letter, you have to accept it. If you say, "Nah, I'd like to push to next year," you're scratched off the list.
Yeah, like, and it's only like $40,000 to join.
It's not that much, but you can only play like a few times a year. Like, that's another thing. I guess they'll send letters. If you think you're going in there like every week to play, they'll basically pull you aside and be like, "You need to relax. Yeah, you're playing here way too much. That's not the way we operate. You can fly in a handful of times and play, but that's about it." And if you have that much money and it's like $50,000 a year, you're going to do it if you love golf. I think Goodell was sniffing around. There have been a few big shooters just kicking around, but Gretzky can't even get on the course.
Yeah. If
that's
Gretzky's not getting on, no one's getting on.
Yeah, if 99 gets the Heisman before walking on to Augusta National, that is telling you something. All right, Sam Mitchell will join us. Free agency officially opening up in about 37 minutes in the NBA. Serge Ibaka is on a flight somewhere. We don't know where. Woj telling ESPN it's very likely Fred VanVleet returns to Toronto. We'll see what Sam thinks of that. And how the Raptors going to Tampa is going to affect their season, if at all. We'll see what Sam Mitchell thinks of that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, role play level of concern in just over half an hour. Sam Mitchell will join us here in a moment. The CFL releasing their comeback schedule for 2021. That is pretty significant. Credit to them, and it sounds as if they're going to get through this, right? There was a time where it was like, what's going to happen here with the Canadian Football League? And they're not completely out of the dark yet, but they're making plans for next year, and it'll be a bit of a different schedule. You'll be playing within your division a lot more, but hopefully they're back up and at them come the spring / summer, and we get a full season in next year. I think that's obviously something that a lot of people need right now, some positive news and something to look forward to. It's going to be a bit of a grind throughout the winter.
I agree. That's some progress here. That's the thing, something to look forward to, even if it has to be a little bit of a moving target. I like that they're working backwards from that. Like, that's something.
Imagine
that,
how difficult, Jamie, that would have been to come up with any kind of scheduling period. Like, what are they talking, Hayes? Fans in the stands, no idea, possibly, well, hopefully.
Don't have an answer for you right now, but they're obviously hoping. And it'll be outdoors, and, you know, right, the weather will be nice in the summer. And
that's where I think, you know, you circle that and you're just hoping. I don't know. And, again, that's people that are a lot smarter than us that you know, next summer we're looking at some form of normalcy. And, you know, whether that's rapid testing and all of the we've talked about vaccines and all of the above, having people back in the stands so that you can enjoy some of the things that we wholeheartedly miss. And that goes with hand in hand with the economy as well. Like, that the CFL has been struggling financially. When you miss a full season,
yeah, it's a big hit.
It's a big hit.
Big,
and those
hit
players
to your brand
lost,
too, right?
You're right. It's their brand. The players lost a year of their careers. Some guys, you know, maybe not marquee guys who had second jobs, they probably went into a different sector and was like, you know what, my football career is over because I've missed a full year of it. And, you know, to get that back, it'll be a challenge.
You're never going to get it back.
Exactly.
You can't get it back. Yeah, you can't get it back, and you won't. But let's hope it gets to that point where they've put together the sched, all the teams are going to survive, the players will return, and we'll have football again in this country later into the spring. The Raptors news came down earlier today, not overly surprising, but still, you got to deal with this reality that they are going to be playing in Tampa to start their season. To chat about that, among some other things, league-wide, we're joined now by our NBA analyst, longtime NBA player, head coach here in Toronto, coach of the year, may we add, here is Sam Mitchell. How you doing, Sam?
Doing good, guys. How are you guys staying safe?
Yeah, we're trying to. We're things are rolling back a little bit up here.
Not in Georgia. We're not staying safe. Nothing has changed. Nothing. We're a virus. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the 250,000+ people in the United States who died, and people act like, dude, people want to fight you when you're talking about trying to protect them and yourself. So I don't know what to do. Like, what do you do? How do you fight someone? I mean, you're trying to get people to wear a mask. You have to fight. They want to fight you because you want them to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, man. I just stay away from people.
No
I
kidding.
Just don't know what to do. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's a play. I mean, I might do that.
I can't believe where I'm living. I can't believe the times. I just can't believe it. It makes no sense. Even if I didn't believe it, I'll wear a mask just because if they tell me it's going to help my fellow citizens, I'll do it. It's not that big a deal. You know what I mean? Even if I didn't believe it. Like, just to show people I care about them.
Right.
But I must be in the minority in the state of Georgia.
Well, I think you'd definitely be the minority in the state of Florida. You go south of you, and it's even more explosive. Everything I've heard from people that, like, Canadians that have left anyway, but they're like, I don't know if I'm going back. It is so crazy down there with the way people react to masks and COVID. And that's the crazy thing about what's going on here with the Raptors, Sam, is that, like, up here it's crazy, and now they're going into the belly of the beast.
I do. At first they was talking about Newark, and I understood Newark with the Knicks and, you know, the proximity, because you could basically get on a bus and play four or five other teams. Philly, Boston, you know, you're right there. But then when I heard Tampa Bay, I understand why. Who wants to be in the cold if they don't have to? But I hope they understand. It is, the virus is out of control in Florida. It's out of control. It's on the same level as it is in Georgia. I mean, it's almost like the people from Florida and Georgia just going back and forth infecting each other.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. And I'm talking about people I know, family members and friends. They going to Florida. I got friends who are going to Florida, renting houses, and having their family come down for Thanksgiving. And I'm saying, are you guys watching the news?
Uh-huh.
And they invited me. I said, I will see you guys on Zoom. I'm
right.
not going.
What does it mean for you, Sam, as far as, like, the broadcast team? Like, are you just going to do you and Kate and Jack and Roddy? Like, are you guys going to just work from Toronto, any part of Tampa? Or are you guys all said no way? Or how's that all working out?
Hey, man, they haven't talked to us about it yet. But, look, I've been in studio at NBA TV. So I've been in the studio, and they had a socially distance. They had a very few people that work in. We had everyone had on masks. The place was clean, and I felt safe. There's ways of doing it. You know what I mean? I think it's okay to go in studio as long as you don't have everyone in there. You got ventilation and things of that nature. So there's a way to make it safer. There's nothing that's 100% safe, and I understand that. You know, I'm not crazy about it, but I would at least take the minimum precaution. You know, the common sense thing. I'm just like, let's just do the common sense thing. We don't have to get into the real science. Just common sense thing. Just wear a mask. Wash your hands.
Yeah, no, and that's been what's been driven home up here in Toronto. I mean, everyone's wearing a mask, and we're rolling back into a lockdown in Toronto, and the Raptors aren't
people
allowed to play.
People here are not wearing masks, guys. Yeah. And the Raptors are going to – so what are the NBA going to do? Because my question is, when someone – they're going to do – I guess they're going to do like the NFL. When someone gets infected, they just pull that player out.
Right.
And they just keep it rolling.
That's the plan. That's what they did in baseball. That's what they're doing in – football, much larger rosters in both sports. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to affect the NBA and expanding the roster, but we're all curious how this is going to work out with the Raptors. Like, outside of what we're talking about here, a different approach to the virus and wearing masks and all that kind of stuff, does playing in a different market, playing in Tampa, does it affect anything in terms of when the ball goes up and they play and they practice and everything? How do you see that playing out?
It depends, man. If their family's there with them, then you'll get used to it. But if you're away from your family, I mean, the tough thing about it, Messiah, those guys are going to have to try to make this feel as normal as possible. And they can do that. You know, it may take a couple of weeks. They can do it. It just depends on if the family's coming with them. Because you can rent houses and townhouses and things like that. You can work around those type of things. And the way it is here in the States, everyone's going to school virtually anyway, so no one is physically attending school. But you can log on through your computer and still go to school. I just think it just depends on if they can bring their families. And then once they get to Florida, what are going to be the rules in Florida as far as masks, as far as practice? I know there are some people even trying to limit the amount of practice time that people can get together to practice.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Because some states are saying they don't want no more than five people together. So how do you do that with a basketball team?
Well, I guess the exemptions are going to have to be made, I guess. I mean, they did that earlier today in Pennsylvania where they put forth a new law where everyone's got to wear a mask at all times, and then there was so much blowback, they said, well, not with the Steelers and the Eagles. I mean, let's not get crazy here.
Now think about that. The blowback people. So what do you do? Guys, I'm telling you, I don't know what to do, because if everyone said who educated, all the scientists and doctors are saying, when did we become a society of people that we don't believe the scientists and doctors? The people that we used to make fun of in high school because they wore the thick glasses and they always had their face in a book, and we thought we were the cool people, but we realized one day those people were going to make the world safer and better for us. Why don't we listen to those people now?
Well, I don't have that answer for you. I mean, I really don't. And we're living in, you know, two different worlds up here. Like, there's some division in Canada, but it's nowhere near what's going on down in the States.
Guys, think about this. I know I went to college, and I think I'm fairly educated. But if you put a scientist who went to Harvard and have all these doctors and PhDs behind his name, and then you got somebody who has a regular job, and they're on TV telling me, you got those two point of view telling me about this virus, and I take the latter, not the doctor, and I listen to the other person, like 70 million people in this country is doing, what does that say? You know how scary that is?
Yeah. We're pretty aware of
that.
We know what's going on. We're watching from afar, but we believe it. And listen, we're not exempt from it up here either.
You know how scary that is when I'm driving around to realize There's like 60 million people that don't believe any of this.
There is, yeah.
Don't believe we have a new president. Don't believe the coronavirus. Don't believe any of this. Dude, do you understand how scary that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Welcome to my world.
It's not a reality at this point up here. But.
Hold up. And then factor on top of that, I'm a black man.
Which is a completely different element considering what's going on in society.
Yeah. if it's not funny, but I laugh to keep from crying some days.
Well, just stay in your house and stay safe. That's the thing. That's basically what we're going to have to do. Stay in our house.
We'll grind through it. And the NBA will be back before you know it anyway, Sam, so at least they'll be distracted. I mean, they're playing in just over a month and three agencies here.
I'm willing to drive to Tampa. I'll drive to Tampa and do a game.
Okay.
I mean, as long as people wear masks, people take precautions. Like I said, I'm wary of it. I'm conscious of it. I'm doing all the things that the scientists tell me to do. I am. I'm wearing a mask. I keep my distance. I wash my hands. I try to stay away from people. I don't go into restaurants to eat. I do all of that. But if you tell me in a workplace with a skeleton crew, people are going to be wearing masks. You're going to separate us. You got good ventilation. I mean, I'll go to work.
Okay.
What do you do at the golf course, Sam?
Yeah, what about golfing? Is that still a part of the daily routine or what?
Oh, man, they never stop golfing in Georgia. Never. It never stops. As a matter of fact, the golf courses are making so much money in the state of Georgia, it's crazy. They're slammed. Because when they said the best thing to do is go outside, and you guys, you got to understand something now. Today in Georgia, it was 74 degrees. It hasn't been too cold to play golf. This is the coldest week it's been, and I think yesterday it was probably about 64.
You can play in that. That's balmy
up
here, man.
That's perfect golf weather.
Yeah.
That's better than the summertime, guys, because you're not sweating. 74 is great.
Right.
That's perfect weather.
Perfect.
How's your game?
Guys, my game is so good now, it's scary. All I've been doing is playing golf and hitting balls. Going to driving ranges. I've had three rounds this year. I've shot, my lowest round has been 67, and I've shot 268. And I'm constantly shooting 75, 74. Like today, I played today and I shot on a tough course and it was windy. I shot 78.
That's money.
And this course is tough.
Yep, that's money. You want to hear the most depressing story you're ever going to hear in terms of golf? I played my final round today because it was beautiful up here in Toronto. And the courses are basically done now. I was one under par on nine. I was rolling three birdies on the front. And I double nine for a one over on the front. That's the best nine I've ever shot. And I shoot a 44 on the back and just puked all over myself for an 80. I didn't even break 80.
Wow.
Now I got to put the clubs away for 5 months. And I'm just I hate the game. I hate the sport. It's a gross sport. I hate it.
But you know what? One thing I've learned that I've gotten better at, I'm telling you, and it make all the difference. You got to get off the tee. It's two things you got to do. You got to get off the tee because they're talking about where you hit more shots on the green. I hear all that. But if you can't get off the tee, you can't play. So you got to get off the tee. And then your short game. Everything else in between, you can get by with. Because you don't have to be a great iron player to make par.
No, but the guy, the host of this show, can't hit an iron shot. He never puts himself in a position to make a birdie.
Hey, man, in our group, you win a lot of money. If I told you how much money I've won the last 3 weeks off my buddies, my golfing buddies, and I probably made one birdie around, but because I'm shooting 73, 72, not making a lot of birdies, I'm just pawing under death.
That's right.
But at the end of the round, I'm collecting 200 or 300 from this guy, 300 or 400 from this guy. We have two groups now. So I'm collecting this kind of money from seven guys.
That's right. It's not how many.
Basketball
Sam.
Season don't cut into my income.
Yeah, don't let that happen. You got to call up Adam Silver, tell him to push it back if we have to.
Dude, I got people. This is how crazy it is. I have people on me. But I have text messages on my phone with people keeping their account with how much money they owe me. I love it.
That's your side hustle, buddy. That's where you're making the real money.
You know this. When you show up at the golf course and you already in the hole, pressure, you're not going to win.
No.
You're not going to win.
No, it's all about mentality. It's all about being in the right frame of mind. And if you're already in money and you're free rolling, that's when you start throwing darts and start feeling real good
I'm
about yourself.
Pause, man. Pause. Yep. It's boring, but you go, I'm telling you, man, I don't stop going for the, I can hit par fives and twos. Sometimes I do it. But pars, man, I'm telling you. I play my buddies. One of them I have three or four birdies. And at the end of the day, I'm collecting all the money.
That's right.
Have you played birdies?
That's a wise man right there. Well, listen, we don't want to hold you from getting maybe, I don't know, maybe you can get nine in. I don't know when the sun goes down.
Hang on. We got to ask the man. You're in Georgia. Have you played Augusta National, Sam?
I played it twice.
Oh, God.
That's how, and what
yeah,
was that like?
It's unreal. And I told you this. The thing about the course is unreal. You know what was more amazing than the course? The people. Because I didn't know what to expect. We're talking about the creme de la creme of people, right? The wealthiest, the most influential people. So I didn't know what to expect when I got there. The people were so nice, so hospitable. They gave you, told you stories, took you on a tour. I'm talking about the members. They wanted to make sure that you had a great experience at Augusta National. I was blown away. I really was, man. I didn't know what to expect, and I was shocked about how nice and giving and thoughtful and just giving of yourself and stories and talking about the club and making sure you felt comfortable. Man, making sure you felt at home there. The experience was unreal. Best golf experience of my life.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear. Yeah, we're holding out hope. One of these days, you and I, we're going to get down there, buddy.
Yeah, get us on, Sam.
Hey, man, I might can get us on. Seriously. I have a few connections. I may can get us on. Only problem is you have to play with a member.
That's so okay. We don't care. We don't even care if you're not there.
Yeah, you hook it up, Sam, and we'll be fine. We'll fly down.
Hey, guys, I'm going to work on it. Seriously, I'm going to work on it.
All right. You work on it
next year.
Okay. Yeah. We'll fly down there whenever we got to be flying. We'll do a 5-month quarantine on the way back if we have to.
I'll take a year off work. I don't care.
So
and I'll wear a mask, Sam, because the scientist said so.
Yeah, beekeepers.
I'm going
I'll
to surprise
anything,
you guys. I'm going to do my best to get you guys on. I'm going to surprise you guys.
All right, we'll leave it there. Leave it on. Awesome. Leave it on a high. Dreams may come true someday.
Hey, and remember this. I want you guys to Google this. The sister course in Atlanta is called Peachtree. That's Bobby Jones' other course. The history of that course, the Masters was supposed to be played at that course, and I played it recently. It looks just like Augusta National.
Okay.
The rolling fairways, the greens are the same. It looks just like Augusta National. So when you guys come, if I can get us on Augusta, we'll play Peachtree first and then drive down to Augusta and play it. Bobby Jones designed both of them.
Well, Bobby Jones didn't know Hayes and the O-Dog were going to be flying down and playing with Sam Mitchell at some point. So he better recognize.
Happen,
yeah. All right, Sam, we'll leave it there. We'll hold you to it. Thank you for this.
All right, guys.
There he is, Sam Mitchell.
That started with... People are crazy. We have to wear masks. Believe the scientists. Yeah. Ended with, we're playing Augusta.
Yeah, Peachtree and then Augusta. We're breaking every quarantine rule.
He's the best, but he has that pause where you're like, you're ready to ask him another question, then he keeps going.
He just keeps rolling.
He's the best.
He's
I love
awesome.
Him.
That was just a stream of consciousness conversation from Sam. Like, he just wanted to kind of talk about what's going on in Georgia and his friends going to Florida and then golf. And
That's awesome,
man. And what did he say? Pars pay, man. Pars pay. They absolutely
I wanted to bring up the word beansy, but I'm not sure if he would have been
I like when he starts pumping his own tires. He's like, par fives, I can hit him in two, but sometimes I don't.
Still rolls away with a par.
Yeah.
It's not how, it's how many. Sam knows that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, role play level of concern to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Black Friday is on now at Chevrolet dealers. Right now, for a limited time only, get great offers across the lineup, plus a $500 Black Friday bonus on most models. But hurry in, the offer will end November 30th. Shout out to James Duffy, who was down in Georgia last week, and Sam Mitchell, who is currently down in Georgia. And it just sounds like the weather is perfect. They're still teeing it up on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Thing of beauty down there.
Lived in North Carolina, the worst, like as bad as it gets is like a fall day where it's just perfect.
Yeah, one like snowstorm, it might be 10 degrees or something, or maybe a week or two of bad weather, maybe.
That's it.
And that's about it. And the further south you go, the better it is, right? Like if you're in Miami, it's just never bad. It's always the same. It's always
it's blue and green, and you have about a 10-minute rainstorm at 5 o'clock every day in Miami, and that's as bad as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Just a completely different climate.
It is.
Completely
different
lots of bugs. Lots of bugs, though.
Yeah.
Right?
I dealt with them. That. I just loved waking up with flip-flops and seeing blue sky and green grass. Green. Like, everything was bright. It's like, this is... Like, just imagine walking to your car in the dead of winter in Canada where you're freezing your ass off and your car won't open, blah, blah, blah. It's a miserable way to start your day. Miserable. Yeah, you're
right. But you're doesn't right. it make you appreciate that great weather more that we have to go through the garbage up here during the winter months? I find that.
I'm just getting to an age where I love our country. I love all seasons, but it's like I wouldn't mind if it was the same weather as Miami either.
Yeah, I would delete winter immediately. I don't love winter.
Yeah. The older I get, the more I kind of dislike it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with fall, spring, summer. I love winter. You know, you give me a month or two, but it can be a 5-month winter where it's just freezing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Snowing, and that's a completely different level.
Well, and the roads are a disaster.
Oh, the whole nine. Whole nine.
You know, we know.
Role play level of concern coming up in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-aided.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.